were kind of in Luke chapter 2 this morning a little bit. In the message that I was going to preach this morning, I'm going to preach tonight since it was changed up on me this morning. We went a different direction, and that's okay because the Lord, it is His church, His people, and His message. I'm just the messenger, so whatever message the Lord has for His people, I do my best to try to give that. But Luke chapter 2, so obviously the 19th, don't forget the 19th, and I'll remind you next week as well, the 19th at 6 o'clock will be our Christmas play. And again, if you did invite anyone, just keep reminding them. Keep reminding them, come on the 19th. I think everybody will be blessed by the Christmas program, a very special program. So Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Again, Father, we ask that you bless our time together tonight. Father, I ask that you bless the reading of your word. Father, we sit here tonight, Lord, wanting to hear from you. So, Father, we do ask that you speak to our hearts as you always do. Father, that you would guide our thoughts. Lord, help us not to be distracted by our own thoughts or things going on in our life, things that maybe we have to do this week, things that have happened this past week. Lord, I ask that you would, in this hour, Lord, just speak to our hearts, guiding us according to your will, teaching us again the things that we need to learn, reminding us of the things that we need to remember, and always, Lord, drawing us closer to you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're very familiar with Luke chapter 2. It's obviously, it's the Christmas story. It's often referred to. It is a passage, the whole chapter, really, that is read during this time of year. But I really just wanted to focus on the first seven verses for tonight, and we'll go through some other verses in the next couple of Sundays just as we get closer to the time that we celebrate the birth of Christ. But tonight I really wanted to talk to us about God's gift to us. And if I were to title, which I gave Matthew the title to put on this morning's message because it was not a planned message by me, but it was definitely planned by the Lord. I told him to title it, it was God's gift of peace that we talked about this morning. And tonight it's basically, it's God's gift to you and to every single person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is, in Luke chapter 2, this is the whole reason why God created this world and he gave life to people. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ came, because of God's love for the world. Again, from Genesis all the way until Luke chapter 2, just different lives being impacted by the grace of God, the love of God. But then this is basically the crowning moment where Jesus Christ is born into this world to be able to bring peace into the lives of people. And what a very special night it was. But sometimes we wonder again, why do things have to be the way they are? Why do my plans at different times have to be disrupted? Because you think about it, this is the time where Mary is, it's about that time at being 9 months pregnant that she should be really staying home and not really traveling, as obviously in the days of Mary and Joseph, it was very rough terrain that they had to travel over in a very long distance. It is said, it's basically Jerusalem itself is about 90 miles away from Nazareth where Mary and Joseph were, and then another 6 miles than that to get to Bethlehem. So about 96 miles that they had to travel, and yet you would think, why wouldn't God keep the taxing from happening at this moment during the time that Mary really should be taking it easy and preparing herself for the birth of her first child, the Son of God? Well, because God had already prophesied in the Old Testament where Christ would be born, and being born in Bethlehem, in the city of David. And there's just, again, there's times in our life where, well, God will orchestrate things that do not match up with our plans, but it's according to his will. And what I want us to see tonight is God is always in control. Even when our plans have to change, again, for me, this morning I was all prepared with one message, but yet just towards the end of the songs that we were singing, I just felt the Lord wanted me to go a different direction. I had to trust that that's exactly what he wanted to do, even though, I'll be honest, I'm never comfortable going away from my notes that give me a little direction. I always give room for the Holy Spirit to guide me as the Lord pleases, but I kind of like to have some type of direction, something I can look at that kind of keeps me on track. And we're all like that. We like to know how things are going and how things are going to turn out. We like to be in control of what's happening in our life. But there's just times where there are those unavoidable circumstances. There are times where things just happen and it's not according to our plan, but we have to trust the Lord. And we see that in the scriptures tonight, where Joseph and Mary just had to trust that everything would work out and that God would protect them on their travels as they would have to travel to Bethlehem, which was where Joseph, being in the line of David, that's where he had to go. They all had to go back, as it says, go back to where their own cities were, where their ancestors were. It says in verse 3, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. So they're in Nazareth, where they have to travel to Bethlehem. And again, God's always in control. Nothing ever escapes God. Again, even though we don't understand why things are happening, we can, as God's people, trust the Lord. When you look at verse number 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. So think about, sometimes there's just unavoidable circumstances, and life is full of unavoidable circumstances. Take your Bibles, keep a finger here, but go back to Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah, because I want us to understand and even be reminded again that God is sovereign and God's in control, and he will use people to accomplish his will. Again, he uses this taxing during this time to bring Joseph and Mary to the exact place where Christ is to be born. God is always working. God's will always comes to pass. Again, like I said, sometimes what we plan works out and sometimes it doesn't. There's been many times in my life where I've had plans to take a trip, take a vacation with my family, but then something happens and we have to cancel it. But God never has to cancel his plans, because everything revolves around God's will. God is sovereign, God's in control, and he uses things in this world and things in people's lives to accomplish his will. In Isaiah chapter 40, look at verse 13 through 15. Verses 13 through 15. The Bible says, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Now, understand, as the prophet Isaiah writes that, he's asking those questions. Who is it that taught the Lord his ways? Who is it that counsels God in doing what he does? Nobody, because again, God is sovereign. God's the one that's in control. God's the one that is doing great and mighty things in the world that he created. Yes, evil continues to run rampant. There are wicked things that happen, but God uses it all for his good. Again, God had prophesied through his prophets that Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem. So with Mary and Joseph being in Nazareth, God has to get them down into Bethlehem. And this decree, as it says, Caesar Augustus, he has sent out this decree that everyone needs to go to their own city and be taxed there. But the taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. So way back before even this event happens in Luke chapter 2, God had already started making preparations to make sure that Christ would be born in the place that was prophesied. Again, God is not like us where, I got to change plans, I'll do this. God has it all laid out. You think about, as I think back to the Garden of Eden, again, people have questions of why God doesn't do things a certain way, why God didn't stop this. If God knew that man was going to sin, if God knew that Adam and Eve were going to eat the forbidden fruit that we see in Genesis, in the book of Genesis, why didn't God stop it? Or why did God just not even have that tree there? Because God is sovereign and God knows, again, he wants people to come and put their faith and trust in him. He wants people to come and know who he is and experience the love of God. And God knows what people will do in their life. And yet he wants them to come to know him personally. He knew Adam and Eve would sin, yet he had already planned to show them grace. Yes, they had to leave the Garden of Eden, but he showed them grace by clothing them when they tried to clothe themselves with the fig leaves, as the Bible tells us they tried to cover up their own sin, yet they couldn't cover their sin before God, and yet God clothed them in skin, animal skin, being the first sacrifice. There was a blood sacrifice for their sins. God knew it. But listen, the whole reason why we know Jesus came was because for God so loved the world. We just have to continue to trust that God is sovereign, that God is in control, and that God will use things in our life for good. You think about Joseph when he was sold into slavery. God allowed Joseph to be sold into slavery so God could raise him up to be second in command in Egypt to be able to save the lives of his family. David arrived at the battle between Israel and the Philistines when they were fighting the Philistines, and their champion Goliath would come out and make all the men of Israel afraid. And yet God allowed David to come at that time to be used of God to defeat David. Daniel was taken captive in Babylon because God's people had turned their back on God, and God allowed them to go into captivity, and God used that captivity to raise Daniel up to a prominent man. He was a governor. He was one of several governors during the time, and yet God allowed him to be the one that was above all the governors, and God used him to be able to counsel the kings that he would serve under and be a great influence. And I would say everyone is familiar with Daniel in the lion's den, just how God did great things with Daniel. And you think about Esther being the queen of Persia. She wasn't looking to be the queen. She was taken, but she was chosen, and God used it so that she could go before the king and speak on behalf of her people that were doomed to die. And God used Esther to be able to save much people. There's just things in life that God wants to use, and we have to look at it not as an inconvenience in life, but we have to look at it as the fact that God wants to use it in our life, and God wants to do something with it, and at the same time work in our life, helping our faith to grow, helping our trust to become 100% towards him. Because again, when you look at Luke chapter 2, Joseph, being Mary's husband, had to trust that everything would be okay. He had to trust that traveling that distance, they would be okay, Mary would make the journey, and that they would find a place to be able to stay in while they got there. God had provided everything. I mean, just even think about this. Joseph is probably thinking, you know, he knows the perfect place to go to. They get into town. He knows the inn that they're going to go to. He knows, I know the perfect place. Because, you know, if you ever travel, there are certain places you like to stay at. When I go on vacation, there's already places I know I like to stay at. And unfortunately, I traveled one time and went to a hotel that was always good when I traveled from Wisconsin to Mississippi. It was about a halfway point. It was a great hotel. But the one time I went, it had changed management, and it was a terrible hotel, and I never went back again. So, I mean, think about Joseph. He's got, if he is like most men, he's got a plan, and he knows what he's going to do when he gets there, and to find out there's no room in the inn. His plans totally disrupted. Now what is he going to do? Because God already had it planned that Christ would be born in a manger. He would be laid in that feeding trough, in that stable among the animals. He would not be in an inn. I mean, God had it all planned out. And God has our life planned out as well. But we make our own choices. He allows us to make our own choices. And he is hoping that we make the choice to follow him and to follow his guidance. And somebody once said that anything out of our control is in the will of God. God is in control of everything that happens, even when it seems like he's not. God is in control, and God uses the things in this world and things in our life to help us to get to where he wants us to get. And the greatest place he wants you and I to get is closer to him. He wants us to get closer to him. That's the greatest gift that he has given us, is our relationship with him, the fact that we can know God more and more. But what a wonderful thing, though, is that God moved upon Caesar Augustus's heart at this time to even decree this world taxing that needed to go on to get people to where they needed to go and to get Joseph and Mary to the right place. We're reminded in Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Again, there's not a single person that God cannot move and use for his purpose. All throughout centuries, all throughout the ages, God has used people that were not necessarily his people, weren't necessarily trusting him, but to accomplish God's will. God can do that. Again, when you read through the scriptures, you just see time and time again where God moves, I'll say, heathen kings to bless his people. Again, when I go back to Joseph in the Old Testament, Joseph, the favorite son of Jacob, the Joseph who had the coat of many colors, the one that was highly favored by his father, but yet he was highly hated by his brothers. And yet God was going to use him. And God used him in a great way, that when he's sitting in prison, he moved upon the heart of the butler to remember Joseph sitting in the prison, remember what Joseph had done for the butler in interpreting the dream he had. And he tells Pharaoh about Joseph. Joseph is brought out. He interprets Pharaoh's dream about the 7 years of plenty, the 7 years of good crops, and yet after that would be 7 years of a famine. And because of the wisdom that God had given Joseph, and because of Joseph's trust, all that time being sold into slavery, being a slave in Potiphar's house, being lied about, being thrown into prison, all along that while, though Joseph didn't understand why he was there, he had no idea why God was allowing that to happen in his life. He did not know that he would end up being second in command of Pharaoh, and yet that was God's plan. And God moved upon the heart of Pharaoh, who saw the wisdom of Joseph and promoted him to that position to have rule and authority over supplying the whole world at the known time with food. And he was able to save his entire family that would travel and move to that region. We serve a wonderful God that's always in control, and his plans, his wills always come to pass. And we're thankful that Luke chapter 2 reminds us that God's will
for mankind to have the gift of salvation, to have a relationship with God, came to pass. Now, I know not everybody will believe in Jesus Christ, because Jesus even told his disciples, you believe in God, believe in me also. Many people believe there's a God, but they will not put their faith and trust in the Son of God. Yet God still fulfilled his will and his plan so that all could have an opportunity to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know, when you look at verses 3 through 5, would you see that there's a special place that God wanted the Christ child, Jesus, to be born. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Again, reminding us of Romans 8:28 that tells us, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Again, if you were to go back to Luke chapter 1, you would see that Mary was called by God for a purpose, and that purpose was to be the mother who would carry Christ in her womb. She's not equal to Christ. She was a vessel that was chosen by God because of her heart for the Lord, because she was a woman. Even as God says, you know, go back to Luke chapter 1. And I want you to look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Bob says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And she was highly favored. You know what? Every one of us is highly favored of the Lord because we're his children. We're the children of God because of our faith in Jesus Christ. But she was, again, she was chosen. She was highly favored. You think about it. Elizabeth was chosen by God to be the mother of John the Baptist so that John the Baptist could be the one that would announce and point people to Jesus Christ. Mary was chosen by God because she was espoused to Joseph, yet she wasn't married yet. They had not come together yet. She was a virgin. And God chose her because, again, in the Old Testament, it was prophesied that a virgin would give birth to Jesus Christ. She is not equal to Jesus Christ. She needed to put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ as well. You go on, I mean, even she goes on in verse number, oh, let's see here. In verse 34, she says, Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? All right, the angel said that she would give birth to Jesus Christ. Verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. I mean, just think about that. God allowed Elizabeth to be barren until the moment that he wanted her to be pregnant with John the Baptist so that the timing, they would be close together in age. So John the Baptist would be the one heralding, crying out, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. I mean, the Lord's just in control. Again, why do some women who desire to have children can't have children? I mean, only the Lord knows. But the Lord, in over time, again, in Scripture, you see where the Lord used that to show his greatness. He used it for a purpose. Again, he chooses Elizabeth to be the mother of John the Baptist, who was barren, but he chooses Mary, who is a virgin. She's not married to Joseph yet, He chooses her because she's a young lady who has a heart for the Lord. She has a relationship with God. She's innocent, she's pure, and God uses her as a vessel to carry the Son of God, even though she still needed to put her own faith and trust in the Savior of the world. Again, I don't want to get too far off topic or too far off, down a rabbit's trail, but every single person has to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Nobody is exempt from having to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Lord allowed this. The Lord got Mary and Joseph to the city of Bethlehem that would fulfill the prophecy of a virgin giving birth and the child, Christ, being born in Bethlehem, where God said that child would be born. Again, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God does have a purpose for things that he allows into our life. Again, you go back to the Old Testament, and the Israelites thought that God had brought them out to the desert to kill them. And God didn't bring them out to the desert to kill them. He brought them out of slavery with a great, mighty arm. And he wanted them to come to know him. He wanted his people to turn to him, to trust him, to have faith in him. And there are times where God does allow hardships so that we will turn to him, so that we will trust him, so we will rely upon him, and that we will come to know that he does love us and he has a purpose and a plan for our life. In Acts chapter 15, verse 18, the Bible says, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." It just amazes me how sovereign the Lord is and how involved he is in all of his people's lives. I mean, the fact that God just is able to orchestrate and guide the steps of his people according to his will, and he uses whatever decisions we make in life that are not the right decision, he uses it for good when we turn to him. He uses it for good to glorify himself and to help us to continue moving forward towards where he wants us to go. Again, when you think about this prophesied city of Bethlehem, in John chapter 7, verse 42, the Bible says, "Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" Bethlehem was a place that you could say not only provided physical bread, but it was a place that provided the spiritual bread, the place where Christ was born. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Again, when I think about the Christmas season, I think about what we call the Christmas story. I mean, we really have to think and reflect on really what God went through to get us to where we're at in our life. Again, like I was even saying this morning, I mean, God could have just appeared, but he went through the process. Obviously, he went through the process of Christ being born, Christ growing up as a child. We see him in Bethlehem as a baby. The next time we see him, 12 years old at the temple, questioning with the religious rulers and them asking him questions, and they were marveling just at, you know, how wise he was at such a young age. And then the next time we see him, it's when he comes onto the scene again to start that 3.5-year ministry of healing and cleansing people and casting out demons and changing lives and drawing people back to God. And obviously the ultimate reason why he came was to walk that road to Calvary, to lay down his life for the blood to be shed, for the remission of sin, so that you and I and everyone that puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ would have the gift of eternal life that only Jesus Christ can give. And only those that will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ can enter into those pearly gates into heaven, into the presence of God, because Jesus Christ is the way. He said, I am the way, the life. He said, I'm the door, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the Son of God. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Again, the Christmas season. Again, I love decorations. I love the lights. I love looking at Christmas lights. I love seeing the expression of my kids when they open up gifts that they had no idea what they were getting. Because you think about it, it's really strange that during the Christmas season, during December, people are actually friendly. People actually smile. There's something about the season that makes people more giving. And it's because the Spirit of Christ. It's what the season really is all about. Because God gave the greatest gift. He gave His love. He gave His grace. He gave His forgiveness through Jesus Christ. He gave His a relationship through Jesus Christ. And you think about it again, there's just something about this time of year. I love this time of year, and I love come April when we celebrate the resurrection. The fact that He had to come, He had to be born so that He could die so that we could have life. I mean, there's just celebration all throughout the year. But this account in Scripture just reminds us of just the detail of what God did. You think about just even the shepherds before, you know, just before I even do chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, the fact that the shepherds that would come. You know what? Look at verse 10. And the angel said unto them, speaking about the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I mean, the fact is that the shepherds are minding their own business. Minding their own business. And on this particular night, all of a sudden, an angel shows up. And then a host of angels, it tells us later on, a few verses, when they start singing glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. What these angels came and spoke about Christ and spoke that in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, had been born. I mean, the fact that God made sure the shepherds were the first one to know, because I would say God has a heart for shepherds. David was a shepherd boy who was a man after God's own heart. Jesus Christ being the greatest shepherd, because He wants to lead us through our life. He wants to provide for us. He wants us to come to trust Him and to follow Him and to hear His voice as He speaks to us. And He makes Himself known to these shepherds, and they go down and they see this child, they see this baby laying there in this manger, and they worship God, and they speak to all those in the city about the things that they had seen and heard. I mean, it's a wonderful time of year, but the greatest thing is the most important gift that was given by God, and that is Jesus Christ. It is something to tell others about. It is something to be excited about. You think about Jesus Christ, the Son of the Highest, they say. Luke chapter 1, verse 32. Gabriel says to Mary, He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David. That speaks of the fact one day Jesus Christ will reign on this earth. From Jerusalem. He will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will be the one that reigns over this world. There's coming a day when we will have the true peace in this world that people are looking for. And people are looking for peace. And Jesus Christ is the one that brings peace into every life that will allow Him to come into their life. Again, in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I know that there's a song that speaks about Mary, did you know? There are several things that are said in there. Mary, did you know that when you stared into the face of that baby. I may not get the words right, but that you were staring into the face of God. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, she knew. She knew that this was Christ. But she's obviously, but still being a mother, still having the nature of a mother, taking care of that baby, yet knowing that this was a special child, knowing that this was the Son of God, knowing that as this child grows, there's a reason why he came. But it was of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. And that holy seed was planted in her womb. And Jesus Christ took on flesh. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Think about that. The name Emmanuel means God with us. The fact in God would robe himself in human flesh to live that sinless life that we could not live, so that we could have our sins paid for, so that you and I could have a place in heaven, so you and I could have a relationship with a holy God. Because sin cannot dwell with God. And God sent Jesus Christ to shed his blood so that we could be washed in his blood. Now, many things we think about tonight, as we think about this Christmas story, we think about Jesus Christ coming, and we think about even the wise man that will come later. Later, when Jesus is around 2 years of age, they come into the home, they bring their gifts, they worship Christ after they had been traveling. I mean, think about the wise men. I mean, the fact that they would travel from the east because they see a star in the sky and they know what it means, because Scripture talks about a star. And they would leave where they're at to travel to where that star was leading them and finally get to the place where Christ is at, come into the home and see Christ sitting there with his mother and worshiping him. That's truly what we are to worship this time of year, is Jesus Christ. Again, there's nothing wrong with giving gifts. There's nothing wrong with decorating. But that should not take precedence. That should not be the main focus of someone whose life has been changed by the power of Christ. It should all remind us. When you look at a Christmas tree, it should remind you there was a tree prepared for Christ to hang on. The gifts that we see under the tree should remind us of the gift that God has given to us. And that gift being Jesus Christ, who brings peace into our life and gives us hope, gives us direction for our life, helps us to see that, you know what? I'm not here by accident. I'm here by the plan of God. God has a purpose. No one's born by accident. There are many children that are told by parents, you are an accident. No one's an accident. Nobody's an accident. No matter how they are conceived, they're not an accident, because God knew that that person would be born, that person would be given life, and his purpose is for every single person to come to know him as their Lord and Savior. I want you to look just at the fact that they get to Jerusalem. God has orchestrated this. God has caused this decree to go out specifically during this time so that Mary will be in the right place at the right moment when Christ is to be born. But when they get there, there's no room in the inn. It says that to be taxed with Mary, verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The last thing I just want us to understand is that
Not everybody has room for Christ. Even though many will be told that the greatest thing that Christmas is about, not everybody will receive Christ. Again, God knew that there'd be no room in the inn, and that was God's plan, because he was to be born in a stable. He was to be born in a lowly manner. Jesus Christ, who should have been born in a palace because he is King of Kings, yet he chose to be born in the lowliest of places. And he chose the lowliest of people to come and witness the birth first, the shepherds, because the shepherds were those that were looked down upon. There were those that people didn't want to be around. They were kind of almost like the outcasts of society, and that's exactly who Jesus came to save, were sinners. Those that the world seems as an outcast, but yet not God, who has given life to every single person, and has given life so that they will come to know the one who gives life, and that is Jesus Christ. But not everybody has room for Jesus Christ. The materialistic man, who is all about his possessions and all about things in this world, does not have room for Christ. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" The intellectual man does not have room for Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God." Because we understand that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made him foolish, or made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." Understand? They want you to follow the science. They want you to believe that there is no God. This world wants people to believe that there is no Heavenly Father, that there is no Creator, that everyone's here by accident. Now, I know I'm talking to those that know otherwise. You know there is a God. You know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know that God had a purpose for your life, and that purpose was to come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, so that you would have the gift of salvation, your sins forgiven, you clothed in the righteousness of Christ, you being an heir of God and joint heir with Christ. But again, there are those that do not believe. There are those that have believed a lie that there is no God, that everything is by accident. That's why a lot of people choose to do the evilness that they do, because they don't believe that there is any life after this. They don't believe that there is a God that they will answer to. They don't believe that there is a God that loves them. Sometimes people view God the way they view people. If someone has an abusive father, they view God as someone who is abusive because they can't understand why God would allow things like that to happen. If they're not being loved, they don't understand, how could God love me? And yet God has manifested his love at the cross of Calvary. Again, the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. It's the simple things that prove that God is real and that God does love. Jesus Christ talked about just the lilies of the valley. He talked about the flowers that God clothed. The flowers are more beautiful than the robes that Solomon wore. He talked about just the fact that God sees every sparrow that falls, and yet he cares more about every single person. He cares about his creation. In fact, he's the one that feeds the animals and makes sure the animals are fed. And there's that food chain. And yet God cares more about a person. He cares more about you. Again, when I think about Luke chapter 2 and I think about just the birth of Christ, I think about just the details. I think about just how God orchestrated it. All for you, all for every single person, that they would come to know Christ, that you would
continue to grow in your relationship, that you would continue to understand the love of God for you. Because you know what? The Bible is God's story for you. When you read your Bible, God's speaking to you. Everything He does in Scripture is for you. Coming to be born in a manger, dying on the cross, rising from the grave, and from that moment that you accepted Christ as your Savior, being there for you every step of the way. Now, there is a liar out there who wants people to believe that God doesn't love them, that God isn't there for them, that God doesn't care. But God does. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." I kind of went over that this morning. The woman, the unnamed woman, the unnamed Samaritan woman there at the well, Jesus speaking to her, "If thou knewest the gift," I love the fact that Jesus used that word gift. Obviously, he didn't use the English word gift, but the fact that he calls it a gift. It's a gift of God. In fact, Romans 6:23 says the gift of God. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, we went to this morning, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Because as we go through this Christmas season, and as we celebrate Christmas Day with family and friends, whatever our plans may be, it should be centered around the gift that we have received from God. And I know that you know that, but again, we can easily be distracted by things going on in this world. He's still the greatest gift that anyone can receive, and he's the greatest gift that you and I can give to somebody. I can't give them salvation. I would love to be able to save people and really cause them to believe on Christ. I can't, but at least I can offer that gift by telling them about the love of Christ, telling them about the peace of Christ, telling them, you know what, you do have a purpose in your life because Jesus Christ has given you your life. Because you know what, look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1 tells us, lets us know that nobody's an accident and Jesus is involved in giving life to every single person that comes into this world. Not talking about eternal life. He gives that gift. Not everyone will receive it, but everyone's giving has given the life to live in this world in hopes that they will come to Christ. Look at verse number 6. I'm sorry, back up if you would. Go back up to verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Speaking of John the Baptist, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. Understand, in your Bible, it's a capital L that speaks of Jesus because Jesus is the light of the world. He's the light of the world. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He lights every man that comes into the world. Listen. Every person is born in this world with a void in their life that only Christ can fill. But every person is also born with a knowledge that there is a God. I've given you the testimony before, but I can remember being a young boy sitting in the back of my parents' car looking up. I mean, I couldn't see out the window, but I could see up into the sky, and I can remember looking up and having the thought as a little boy, there has to be someone who created those clouds. Everybody is born with that. They're born with something on the inside. Now, again, things happen in life. Decisions are made. Different paths are taken that kind of suppresses that. Sometimes their consciences are seared because they just reject that there's a God for one reason or another, because something happened in their life, something didn't go the way they wanted to. They're believing the false teachings of the world. But every person is born, maybe not with the knowledge that, you know what, God sent his son Jesus Christ to die for me, but they're born with something on the inside that lets them know they're not here by accident. Because God's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. Again, thinking about myself, when, you know, I grew up going to church, I had that thought as a little boy, went to Sunday school, became a teenager, things happened in life, went a different way, rejected God, even allowed myself to have the thought God doesn't exist. Even though I know he did, but I was running from him because of things that had happened in my life, and I was trying to convince myself that there was no God. But guess what? God wasn't going to let me off the hook. He allowed things to happen in my life to draw him back to him, and he used a special person in my life to say words that pierced my heart that I knew were true, but they were said at the right time in my life, and God orchestrated it so that I would have that opportunity to either put my full trust in him or completely deny him. And I praise the Lord that he helped me to choose to fully trust him. God, again, God's not here to destroy lives. He's here to give life. And I will say it until the day he takes my breath away. Jesus said, I come to give life and to give it more abundantly. He died so that we could have life. And not just us, but every single person around this world. God's given us a great opportunity to share that gift with others. I was reading I think it was last night or maybe this morning, just in Matthew, where Andrew goes, gets Peter, his brother, tells him, hey, we found the Christ, come and see. Philip goes and gets Nathanael, and Nathanael's like, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I mean, people have their opinions about Christ because of what they heard or whatever, and Philip just said, come and see. I mean, the greatest testimony, like I say, and you've heard before and you already know it, the greatest testimony is your life, what God has done in your life. So people can see, you know what? I know I've heard that God's not real, but he must be real because there's something different about you. You have this peace about you. There's something that you have that I don't have that I want. That's why the Bible tells us to be ready to give an answer to everyone that asks of the hope that lies within you. And right now, we know that in our community, people need hope. They're looking for hope. They don't understand why something tragic would happen as it did. And they're looking for hope. And Jesus is the hope that they need. Everybody needs Jesus Christ. So don't let this season go by without you giving that true reverence to the one who gave his life for you and for me, and to be able to share that with others. And God help us to be able to do that and know how to do that and how to say it. Because again, he is the greatest gift that has ever been given to this world, the Son of God.